Well, good morning, church, and welcome to West Winds Community Church Online. We are so glad to have you here. Just wanted to give you a little reminder about our Christmas project where we're giving to the Cloverdale Christmas Hamper Program. We are looking to get gift cards for teens, and we're going to add those into the hampers that are being prepared. So if you want to give to that program, please put it in the special section of your giving and just mark down, if there's some notes in that area, mark down Christmas Hamper Program, and we'll gladly make sure that gets to where it needs to go. Today we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and following, so let's get to our message this morning. We're looking at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, and it goes like this. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they could come together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Anticipating the birth of a child stirs up all sorts of conflicting feelings, and Jesus' birth stirred up the entire world. Waiting for the birth of a child brings a lot of joy, but it also brings anxiety of the unknown. And as we wait for Jesus this Advent, we can embrace the beauty with what is in all this mess. You could also parallel this to the anticipation or waiting for your wedding day or some other big life-changing event. But our story today is about the anticipation of the birth of a baby and the birth like no other. This passage really gives us the Cliff Notes version of Jesus' birth. Mary is engaged to Joseph, and she was expecting. It was not Joseph's baby, though. Instead, the Holy Spirit brought about the conception, as we see in verse 18. Joseph was an upstanding guy and decided that he would secretly end things just so that he wouldn't bring shame upon Mary. And as he weighed his option, an angel appeared to him in a dream, and the angel told him not to worry because Mary was a noble woman. And the baby that she was carrying would be Jesus, the Savior of the world. And this baby is the one who was prophesied as the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. When Joseph awoke, he knew what to do, and he made Mary his wife and honored her, and he welcomed this child, Jesus, into his arms. Now, Mary and Joseph were having this unplanned pregnancy, but both knew that the child was special. How must they have felt in that waiting time, I wonder sometimes. Preparing for parenthood is a time of great expectations, and whether it's through adoption or traditional means, the waiting can cause many soon-to-be parents with much anxiety, mixed with joy as well. Plus, pregnancy and birth are messy, they're uncomfortable, and they're hard. So I've heard. The toll on the adoptive families is different but equally difficult as they navigate the time it takes for a child to bond and feel safe with their new adoptive family. Life in general, though, is messy, it's uncomfortable, and it's unpredictable and difficult. It's also beautiful, it's also 100% worth it, but like those who walked through the first Advent, we wait for the second Advent of Jesus amid the mess, finding expectant joy. Parents can have these anxious feelings when confronted with the reality of the world, and it's because it's still dangerous, but just as it was in Jesus' time when he was born, and that darkness can feel very real. God did what every parent would never do. He sent his child directly into the heart of evil with no protection. God the Father did not shelter Jesus from the terror and the loss of living in our broken, bleeding world. he chose instead to present us with this opportunity for him to save us all. The buildup of Christmas reminds us that when we decide to shelter ourselves from our loved ones from the struggles of life, it means we are resisting the Advent call to stare darkness or struggles in the face with the power and help of Jesus. And during Advent, as we prepare our hearts and the arrival of Jesus, our call is to, as Jesus did, look pain and darkness full on and not move. During Advent, we are to wait and hope patiently in the darkness and for the arrival of the one who will save all mankind. Those who have had the joy of expectantly waiting for the arrival of their child recognize that Advent encompasses a familiar feeling of hope and longing. For some people, and it's more than you think, this season is the saddest part of the year. Beneath the excitement and the festivities of Christmas lie a painful thought of where we thought this year would be, and it looks so different. It's a harsh reminder of the realities of our situation, whether we've lost a job, missed a promotion, death of a loved one, or recently lost someone, or in the past. The struggle that our plans or dreams have been crushed, or, you know, we lived through a pandemic, and in a pandemic where our normal has been temporarily put on hold, and we are separated from the ones that we love. It makes Christmas a different holiday than what we see on the storefronts or on TV specials. We feel out of place on Christmas, and what's more than that is that we feel shame for feeling out of place. So I would just like to remind you right now that, yeah, it's difficult, but it's not forever. Right now is frustrating, but in this time of difficulty, this is where we can make a difference and be a great biblical example of what true Christianity is. Advent is about waiting. It's about living in the tension between the way the world is and the way we wish it would be one day. It tells us of a God who didn't look down upon our hurt and say, well, just get over it. But instead, he looked down and said, let me be with you in that pain. It tells us of the first Advent, the coming of God made flesh into the world, but also the second Advent where he will come and wipe away all the tears from our eyes and there shall be no more death, no more crying, no more sorrow. Each Advent season is a chance to remember that we live in between the two comings of Christ and that the place where we live in between is not perfect and we will experience all of life, which includes the good and the bad. Now, in the book of Habakkuk, the prophet asked God to answer some questions, and God said to him, you know, you're just going to have to wait. He says this, he says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am giving you something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I mean, that to me is amazing. God's saying, I'm going to tell you something, but you're not going to believe it. And then Habakkuk puts himself in a place to be in the best position possible to hear God's answer. Not only did he position himself to hear, but he waited. He waited in expectation. You know, I love the story of Habakkuk. And when he goes to God and asks him the questions that he asks, and God says, you know what? Even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. I'm going to use this other group of people to make my people clean. You know, that's something that we all would struggle with when God comes to us and says, you know what, you've been asking me a question and I'm going to do something, but it's not going to look the way you want it. Because God's plans are longer. They see the future, whereas our plans are right now and how we feel in the moment. And so as we are in this in-between time, when we look at all the things around us that are happening, whether it's in our little bubble, our world, or whether it's out in, you know, internationally, we can struggle with the fact that God has things under control. And we're wondering, why aren't you doing anything? If you look in Habakkuk 1, he's asking God, what are you doing? Why aren't you dealing with these people that are doing horrible things to others, that are coming in and wiping people out in just horrible ways? And God says, I've got a plan. I'm going to use those people to actually fix my people. When I look at that, That is a something that we would struggle with today. And I see it around our communities when we think about those churches that are breaking the rules, that are not wanting to follow the restrictions that our government has passed down. I think about how we act, how we are. Are we being a great example? Are we doing what God has asked? Are we giving up freedoms that maybe we shouldn't be giving? I don't know if that's the case. I think we really need to walk through this. I think we're in a waiting time. And in this waiting time, in this in-between time, how we respond and how we act is going to make a difference everywhere we go. When this is all said and done, what will they say about how you acted? Will they say you were a great Christian example, or will they say that you acted in a way that wasn't very Christian-like? And so we have to decide, what's that going to look like? I'm not saying these other people are bad people. What I'm saying is their decisions can be misplaced. They are not being persecuted for their faith. Otherwise, it would just be that one group. It would just be Christians that are being punished. But everyone right now is under restrictions. So in the end, we're just going to have to wait this out. Right now, we are literally in a waiting time for the vaccine to come in. And then you know what? We're going to have to wait for that vaccine to actually work. It's going to take time. So again, we're in the in-between time. What are you doing in those times, in the in-between times? Super important question that I think all of us should answer, and we should think hard on that this week and decide, how's that going to look in the future for us? Will they look at us as a great example, or will they look at us as something else? And I tell you right now, I want to act in the way that I feel that the scripture is telling me to, and that's love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And that means I lay down my rights and I suffer for others. When they start saying that we can't meet because we believe in God or we believe in Jesus or whatever that is, then I'll be the first in line standing there fighting against that. But at this point in time, that is not what's happening. We haven't given up any rights. We are in a state of emergency. And we all know that when you're in a state of emergency, other rules and regulations are put on hold while the new ones are put in place for a short period of time. That's where we're at. That's where we're going to be for a little bit. But in the meantime, we can meet like this. We can come together online, and that is a great opportunity for us to share our message to more people and for you to share this video and tell your friends to check out the message of Jesus. And that's why we're here. We're here to spread the good news of Jesus because he's life-changing. Following what Jesus taught is life-changing. It doesn't mean everything's going to be great. It doesn't mean everything's going to be, you know, all better, but it does mean that he's going to walk with us through it. Remember what I said earlier? God's going to walk through this with us as we go through it. And now we're in a waiting time, and he's going to walk with us through that. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to be strong. I want to encourage you to be safe. There's just a little bit more time to get through this, and I promise you we will get through this, but we want to do it together. We want to do it as we support each other and lift each other up. You know what? Send a card to your neighbor. Encourage them. Someone you know that's maybe struggling, had a rough go, send a card to them and encourage them. Pray for those that are going through a rough time right now, because you know what? God can do amazing things through prayer. And I want to encourage you to continue to pray through this. And when we get through to the other side, we can look back and say, and look back and see what God has done, all the great things that he has done throughout all of this. Continue to pray for those that have lost those to this illness. They are out there. It is happening. So pray for them and their families, as this is a very difficult time for those people. So let me pray for you, and we're gonna wrap this up. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. And I just pray that as we come to you, we think of those that are grieving, those that are struggling, having a tough go this Christmas. And I just pray that you will open our eyes to see those. Holy Spirit, give us the ability to see those that are struggling and help us to come alongside them and encourage them in the best way that we can, especially during this time. For those that are lonely, those that are struggling with grief, we just pray for your peace and your love to kind of shine through us. Help us to be a great example for your message. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you are about to do. Help us to be safe. Help us to be kind to everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what? God bless you, and we're going to see you next Sunday. I can't wait to hear about how your week's been, and we're going to see you online. God bless.